Tuesday, September 20th, which means that we are not even 48 hours away, or I guess roughly 48 hours from the beginning of fall, officially the start of autumn season. That's happening this week. And I don't know where you are or what the weather's like where you are, but definitely the places that I've been in the last couple of weeks have felt a little more like fall, which is nice. Now, it's not cold by any stretch of the imagination, but I've had the air condition off more than I've had it on at my house over the last couple of weeks, which is a start. It was a long, hot, dry summer in my neighborhood, and I'm ready for some actual, real, tangible fall, though I have cheated. I already have pumpkin munchkin creamer from Dunkin' in my fridge. It's been in there since August, actually. And I've had pumpkin coffee multiple times in the past week. So I am all things pumpkin in the fall, and I didn't even wait until the actual fall to get to that point. I cheated, but it's been a tough summer. You know what? So cut me some slack. I don't mind if you want to dive in and dress up like a pumpkin, or some people decorate their yards like decked out gaudy for Halloween, and it's not even the last week of September yet. So let's not judge all pumpkin everything.
Touching the pumpkin.
Here we go. Oh, no. Until Kyrie Irving ruins it for me. Stop talking about touching pumpkins. Leave my pumpkins alone. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. It won't be long, actually, until we have to hear from Kyrie on a much more regular basis. It won't be long until NBA and NHL teams are into their training camps. We're starting to see more and more of that buzz around those two, I guess, what are technically winter sports, but you know how that goes. So, October is coming, and October is the one month in the year when all four major team sports are playing games that count. And it's also the time when we can mix in MLS, and we've got, do we still have golf? I guess we have golf. It's not really that big of a deal then, but we've got the World Cup on the horizon in soccer too. So there's a lot happening this fall. Yet another reason to hasten its onset and hasten its opening day. It's opening day for fall. Oh, that's cute. I like that. I might use that more. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. I'm a spaz on this Tuesday morning because it's been 3 days of kind of being upside down, and a lot of travel and a bunch of work mixed in there, but also some family time. And so if I entertain you on this Tuesday morning, well, then yay. My friends always tell me that I'm far funnier when I'm tired. I'm just going to try not to say anything stupid in this last hour because I don't want to embarrass my hosts, the kind people here at Green Bay 107.5 The Fan. They've actually given me the run of the place the last several hours. There's no one here to monitor, no one here to babysit. It's just me. So if something goes wrong, well, then it's producer Jay's fault. No, I wouldn't do that.
That's right. I get that a lot.
It's not. Stop it. You do not get that from me.
Not from
that
you.
That is not true. Who else blames you for everything that goes wrong?
We don't have to get into it.
That's not true. I don't blame producer Jay for much at all. I do blame him when he doesn't bring the right snacks. Then, when he brings too much candy and I can't be eating as much candy as producer Jay.
That's... Well, nothing wrong with the candy, but not bringing the right snacks, that's a fair criticism.
So I'm here in Green Bay for one more hour and then heading not quite directly to the airport, but pretty darn close. But I appreciate all of your tweets and your Facebook messages. You've been very kind, and it's been a really good visit. It's been good to be here both personally and professionally. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we're going to recap and go back over what stands out to me from Monday Night Football, the doubleheader. But if you missed either one of our guests, we actually had two guests, which was cool. We were able to connect with Ross Tucker, who is not only part of Westwood One, but does games on CBS Sports. And he was in his car driving home from Orchard Park. He had quite a long drive. And so we were able to catch up with him in the first hour of the show and talk to him about the game that he had just seen, the teams that he had just seen, the Bills and the Titans in Orchard Park. And then we were able to catch up with Luke Braun, who is our Vikings insider, has the Locked On Vikings podcast. He joined us in the second hour. So a double dip. And for the Vikings, I have no idea who they are. Either way, you can get both of those interviews on our podcast, AfterHoursAmyLawrence.com. So real good insight there into each of these games, as well as the two teams that came out victorious and are now 2-0. And I say, if you look around the NFL, even teams that are 2-0 aren't necessarily real good teams yet. I don't think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are real good yet. They've scored two offensive touchdowns in two weeks. Their defense is very strong and is a force to be reckoned with, but that offense is a disaster, to the point where you've got Tom Brady chucking things and picking fights that his wide receivers then have to clean up. Sorry, it's not funny. Mike Evans is not laughing at all. I wonder if Tom Brady apologized to Mike Evans or told him thank you for coming to my aid. Anyway, he's a little cranky these days and he wants to hit someone. And so he started that kind of, he incited it, to be sure. Anyway.
Going on.
See what I mean? Cranky as all get out. The Bills are 2-0. But they're not the same 2-0 as the Bucs, right? The Eagles are 2-0, but they're not the same 2-0 as the Giants, let's be fair. It's been more chaos, really, than consistency in the first 2 weeks. But there are a couple of teams who have flexed their muscles a bit and at least have shown us they're ahead of the curve when it comes to that race for consistency. And definitely the Bills are in that category. It's a limited category. There's not many teams in it. But what we've seen from the Bills to start the season has been dynamic and dominant.
Josh takes a snap, play action. Short pass caught by Reggie Gilliam. Dodges one tackle, still on his feet. At the 10, at the 5, headed into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! Touchdown, Reggie Gilliam! He fought off two tackles and fought his way into the end zone. The Bills are on the board. Takes the snap, fakes the handoff. Josh rolling to his left. Looks back, throws the other way to his right. It is caught in the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! Stephon Diggs! Touchdown, Buffalo! Tannehill takes his time, waiting for the snap. There it is. Back to throw. Pocket collapsing. He's going to be dumped. He is sacked back at the 28-yard line. Ryan Tannehill paid the price back at the 29-yard line. Josh will take another shotgun snap. Fakes a handoff. Going to throw it. Looks downfield. Fires downfield. Looking for Diggs inside the 5. Dives for it. Makes the catch. And it is caught. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs. Touchdown, Bills. A 46-yard completion.
There was plenty of that. It was offense. It was defense. It was pretty much relentless for the first three quarters. By the fourth quarter, we didn't have Josh Allen anymore, and we didn't have Ryan Tannehill anymore because the route was firmly in place. The route was on, if you will. John Murphy on Bills Radio. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Buffalo was able to put together long extended drives. They were able to come up with huge chunk plays like the 46-yard touchdown to Stephon Diggs that you hear. It was a 12-catch night for Diggs, 3 going for touchdowns. Josh Allen in 3 quarters has 317 yards and 4 scores, but there was also defense. Jordan Poyer with an interception that actually was tipped up in the air multiple times before he was able to grab it, and a dagger pick 6 by Matt Milano that wrapped up the third quarter. And so the Bills against the Rams had their way. We saw them find that rhythm right away against the Super Bowl champions, and now against the reeling Titans, also leaving no room for doubt. There must be something still that the Buffalo Bills have to work on. But at this point, they are head and shoulders above most of the league.
Both coaching staffs with the defense, offense, special teams, they did a great job. You know, good game plans, players executed. Thought it was good fundamental football. I thought we were a little maybe erratic early, you know, and we settled in and started playing good disciplined football for the most part. I should say fundamentally strong football. We still need to add some discipline into what we do there.
Sean McDermott always has to be somewhat reserved because it's never perfect. And obviously in pro sports, there's very few moments or very few games that are completely perfect, but over 100 yards rushing, and Josh Allen was not their leading rusher, which to me is always a huge positive for that offense. Yes, Josh was locked in on the majority of his throws, and he was able to spread the ball around a ton, too. It wasn't just Stephon Diggs, though they do have a special connection, and that's one of the things I talked about with Ross Tucker when he joined us earlier on the show. As for the Titans, two official sacks of Ryan Tannehill, but then a handful of other hits. And even if it wasn't an official registered hit of Tannehill, there were moments where he was pressured and where guys were in his face. And he's not a mobile quarterback, right? So times when he was rushing to throw, and a couple of turnovers in there as well. And so the Titans at this point have lost a couple of games in decidedly different fashion, but they get punched in the mouth against Buffalo. And as for Josh Allen, well, he's not going to give you any bulletin board material, but for the high expectations the Bills have set for themselves, I mean, this is a really quality start to the season.
No, that's a good team that we just played. You know, having a long week to prepare, you know, we had a good game plan going in. Dorsey trusted what he was calling. We went out there and executed on offense. Defense made some huge stops, some huge plays, gave us some short fields. Good complimentary team win tonight. So, but anytime you beat a good team, it's hard to win this league. So we'll enjoy this one and turn our focus to the Dolphins tomorrow. It's week two. It was the most important week for us since it was the next one. So like I said, we'll enjoy it, but turn our focus towards the Dolphins tomorrow, and that'll be the biggest game for us because it's the next one.
I know the Bills have looked good, but come on now. It's week two. We don't need to be talking about how this is the Super Bowl favorite any more than we needed to be talking about how Rams-Bills was a potential Super Bowl preview. Oy, please poke me in the eye with a fork. Or not literally, but figuratively. Even Von Miller, who's got Super Bowl rings, is not in a position where he wants to be talking about Super Bowl in September.
You just play the game. You know, whenever you start thinking about Super Bowls, man, it's like drinking from a fire hydrant, man. Like, you know, you just got to take it, you know, one play at a time. It's 17 weeks. And, you know, football is a humbling sport. You know, you're going to be met with adversity at some point, and we just keep preparing for that adversity. We're not playing the game to just win the game. We're playing the game to dominate the game. And we got a team full of killers, man, and it's led by, you know, our quarterback, you know, our head coach, you know, the leadership on this team, you know, from Brandon Bean all the way down to the janitors and the infrastructure of this team.
I seriously love Von Miller. There are not too many characters in professional sports that I appreciate more than him. So for the Bills, it's all coming up sunshine and roses as much as you might tell people to tap the brakes. I mean, 2 weeks in, that's the only sample size there is. As for the Titans, for Mike Vrabel, for Ryan Tannehill, you can hear it. You can see it. These 2 weeks, demoralizing.
You know, in this league, nobody's going to feel sorry for you. We understand that. We don't expect that. We don't want anybody to. We have to get things fixed. We have to figure out how to win a game, get back home, and get back to work. We got our asses kicked. Plain and simple. They outcoached us, they outplayed us, and that's the definition of it. And so we're going to get back to work, and we're going to figure out a way to win a football game.
This one's tough to swallow, but we can't sit around and you know, have the woe is me attitude. They believe in each other. You know, we're two games into a long season. Obviously, not the start we want, not the start we expected, but a lot of football out in front of us and a lot of confidence that we're going to get this thing going in the right direction.
So the Buffalo Bills are 2-0, and they've looked good doing it. The Tennessee Titans fall to 0-2, and they've lost two very different games. But 0-2 is 0-2. You are what your record says you are. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. No, it's not the end of your season. Yes, there's a long way to go, but still two losses that you now have to try and make up for. Bills have looked great. I think the Chiefs have looked fairly consistent, but I talked about this earlier in the show, the fact that they've got the AFC West, and we know these teams are going to batter and bruise each